but think that Abraham, that we read about a moment ago, if he had that song, might have been singing that song as well. Ross read the passage of Scripture about the call of Abram, later named to Abraham. And can you imagine being 75 years of age, minding your own business in your life, raising your family, tending your sheep, doing your thing, and then all of a sudden, at 75 years of age, get this outrageous, incredible call on your life to go and do something you don't even know anything about. Can you imagine that? 75, 55, 25, any time, any age, hearing a call like the call that God gave Abram. By the way, there's very little known about Abraham before he gets the call. If you back up in the Scriptures, you'll see that it just describes who his parents were. That's all we know. And Abraham, of course, becomes one of the most famous people in all of the Bible at the point of the call. We are 5 weeks from Easter Sunday. It's a very big day in the life of Christendom and the life of the church. And so as we anticipate the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus just weeks away, as is our tradition, I want to back up a few weeks and take a running start at some prophecies that lead us to the anticipated day in the life of Jesus at the point of resurrection. Abraham is really a good starting point for these prophecies. Because when you look at the life of Abraham and you see this moment of the calling, and you go forward from this moment where Abraham responded to the calling, and you go way far forward into the life of Abraham, tracked through the Old Testament and into the beginning of the New Testament. In the beginning of the New Testament, as the book of Matthew opens, it says this: the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah begot Isaac. And the whole rest of chapter 1 is begot this one, begot this one, begot this one, begot this one, until you get to the end of the genealogy that starts out Matthew, and it then says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was the earthly father of Jesus. And the delineation and the generational history shows that Abraham ultimately became the great, 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 14 great grandfather of the earthly father of Jesus. If you were 75 years of age and you get an incredible call upon your life, and understood that the promise would be that you would have a son like Jesus in your family line, you would be more likely to go forward with that call upon your life, understanding the responsibility that you would have to follow after the plan of God, because God's plan, 14 generations, 1,000 years or more ahead of you, is fixed and in place for the delivery of Jesus, the Savior of the world. But when you read the call of Abraham, you don't see any description of God saying, here's the deal. Here's the promise. Here's the expectation you can have as a result of following after my leadership for your life. And so the song is apropos for the moment. Give me faith to follow through with whatever you are doing in my life. And I understand, God, that you don't always give me the whole picture as you call me to move from where I am to where you need me to go. In fact, if he gave us the whole description, two things. One, we couldn't handle it. And two, it wouldn't require any faith. And we wouldn't have to grow. We wouldn't have to trust. We wouldn't have to fall into his arms or fall into his plan or let go of whatever our self-preservation and our self-reservation is in order to fall into the leadership and plan of God. By the way, it's also curious, and I haven't completely worked this out in my mind. Maybe you can take notes for me and make a summary here. It's also important to note that in the plan of the call of Abraham, Abraham and Sarah had no children. And at 25 years into this answering the call of God, God gave Abraham and Sarah a boy. Sarah was approximately 99 years of age when she found out she was pregnant. Can you imagine? Some are giving me this. Yeah, I'm with you there. I cannot even consider that. But to think about the fact that Abraham and Sarah had a child by miraculous means. You go all the way forward in the story of Jesus, and we open up the New Testament, and as the New Testament story unfolds, which is the story of Jesus' coming, what's the very first story we discover at the coming of Jesus? Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were faithful temple servants and were barren in their old age, and Zechariah and Elizabeth were also given a child well past childbearing years. That child was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the herald of the coming of Jesus. So in this family history, in this family line, and I didn't track it all, but at least two significant times, there are miraculous births to couldn't happen parents, gifts of God to families that are a part of the lineage and history of Jesus. And then Jesus comes to the earth. And of course, Jesus comes not by humans, but by the ultimate miracle, by Mary, who was a ready, receptive body for the delivery of Jesus to her womb. And then earthly father Joseph, who had never been with her before their marriage came about. And so there, and I don't have a complete conclusion there, but it's not, I guess you could say, it's not completely outrageous to see in Jesus' family line these children being delivered by miraculous means in preparation for the delivery of the ultimate pregnancy, Jesus. Abraham didn't know any of that. He had no vision of the future. He had no way to telepathically go forward in history and see what would become. All he knew was what God told him. And the truth of it is, friends, that's all we can know is what God tells us. Now hear me clearly, church. He is a revealing God. He's not some sort of bait and switch kind of God or dancing in the dark kind of God. He doesn't kind of toss us out into the universe and say, good luck, y'all are on your own. He is a revealing God. But the truth of it is, the revealing is in His hands, not mine, not yours. It's in His hands. And He reveals His plans to us as He wills, as is good and best for us. So God told Abraham. He spoke to him very plainly. And he said, get up from your country, get up from your family, get up from everything certain, and go to the place that I will show you. And here's the promise, I will make you a great nation. Well, what does that mean? You're just minding your own business as a 75-year-old caretaker for a family. Well, I will make you a great nation, and you shall be a blessing. All right, I can maybe understand that a little bit. I will bless you. Well, I can maybe process that a little bit. I will bless those who bless you. That sounds pretty nice. I will curse those who curse you. In other words, you'll be protected as you go. And then here's the big one, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That connection from Abraham to Jesus, that came to be, didn't it? Because all the nations of the earth and all the peoples of the earth have the potential to be blessed by the Savior of the world. That's the intention of Jesus, to come on the command of the Father and be the blessing as the Savior of the world to people of all nations and of all races and of all people. And then as we read through the passages Ross read a moment ago, probably one of the most significant words in all of the Bible is the word we'll read next. It's a little bitty word and almost has no significance at all. It's the word so. Verse 4 of chapter 12, the first word. So. So. Abraham did it. Between the call and so, there's no other detail. There's no, are you sure? There's no, I'll have to think about it. There's no, let me get back to you. There's no, talk to my friends. There's nothing. There's nothing. It's just so. So Abraham departed to a place that God would show him. Imagine that. Where would God show me? Hey, family, just want to let you know, pack up everything we have, get all the animals ready, every one of our resources, and we're going to go where God... Well, where are we going? We don't know yet. But God's going to show us. And the next morning when they wake up, on the other side of so is direction. I don't know how the direction, but the direction. North, south, east, west, which road do you take? The one that God says. Can you imagine living life like that? By the way, there's a principle that you could carve out of the whole teaching. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. We're not supposed to be self-resourced. We're not supposed to figure it out ourselves. We're able to fall into the faithfulness of God, and God shows us the path. And we walk on that path. The ultimate growth and maturity in our relationship with God is to be able to get to the beginning of the day, wake up from the slumber of the night, swing our feet off the edge of the bed, and stand up and say, God, what am I doing today? And whatever I'm doing, that's what you want me to do. Now, I understand we have responsibilities and jobs, but even interacted with those responsibilities and jobs and schools and wherever we may be is the other side of so. And the wonderful news of it all is that we can live that way. Friends, I want us to just take a double handful of all the things that we fret about and worry about. We all have them, and just lay them down. Just lay them down on the other side of so that we can go in faith with God and not be so concerned about the things of this world that are only temporary if we are secure eternally with Jesus. When you read back through the command of God or the calling of God on Abraham's life, one phrase really sticks out to me that kind of directs Abraham's efforts going forward. When he says in the middle of the passage, you will be a blessing. Now I think there's two ways to read that statement. I think there's one way to read it, and God speaking to Abraham as he's anticipating this adventure on the other side of so. I think one of the ways that you can read it is just simply a fact. Abraham, on the other side of so, you're going to be a blessing. It's a fact. And if you follow the life of Abraham, you'll see that he was. He thrived. He was being blessed. He was being a blessing. He just went to a place where things were better when he arrived. And you will be a blessing. That's a fact. But I think you can also read that phrase as a command. In fact, I think that has even more strength to it as we think of it in that way. I've called you to go somewhere. You don't know where it is yet. But on the other side of so, when you get up from where you are and go to the place that I will show you, I command you to be a blessing. Have you ever thought about that in your own life? Have you ever thought about receiving blessings from God and being a blessing wherever you go? But have you ever thought about the notion that you might be commanded to be a blessing as a result of what Jesus Christ has done in your life? Is what Jesus Christ has done in the life of your family, what he's done in the life of our community, of the church family, as he's done in the world. I command you to be a blessing. Now, I don't know that we think about this too often, but it's important to know that as we are commanded to be a blessing, it's important to know that we have the potential to be just that for the world in which we live. Here's what I mean by that. Abraham had to come to the place, as he took on the command of being a blessing, Abraham had to come to the place where he realized that he was loved by God. Okay, take that thought into your mind and in our minds as well. And I think when we hear the phrase, especially if we've been inside of a Bible and inside of a church for any length of time, I think the fact that we know that we are loved by God is pretty well understood and pretty well assumed. Okay, yeah, we know we're loved by God. That's kind of the deal that God is about. Sure, there's the God of judgment, but there's also the God of love. And if I do more right things than wrong things, God's going to love me. After all, God is love. Even if I do something wrong, he still says that he loves me. And so that understanding of God's love may be blended into our lives pretty simply and almost assumed and taken for granted. Because after all, he so communicates that message into our lives. So Abraham had to come to grips with the fact that God loved him. He put him on this earth. He brought his purpose about at a later age. And God's love was going to be prevalent in his life as he contemplated this blessing. But the part that's a little bit more challenging for us to think about as we think about the love of God on behalf of Abraham and the love of God on behalf of you is that not only did Abraham feel the love of God, but he also began to realize that God liked him. That God liked him. Now there's a difference. There's a difference between the two. Abraham had to come to the place where God communicated to him that God liked him. Now the question would be for you and for me, do you know that God likes you? That's a little harder question to answer. Because after all, the likability factor is somewhat more a responsibility of mine. I mean, in fact, I can't just go through this world just doing whatever I want to do and expect God to like me anyway. Certainly isn't true of relationships that we have already between husband and wife and family. I mean, there's something that we have to do in order to be likable. I'm not talking about being popular and getting more Facebook friends. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about generally being liked. To know in your heart and know in your life that the likability factor is a discipline of my behavior, that the things that are not likable about my life and about my world, the habits that have been flinching in my life for years and years, some of those aren't good. Some of those need to be taken out of my life. And I need to be better going forward than I am right now. And that should be the call in our life and the discipline of our life every day. Those habits, those things that I'm ashamed about, those things that I just keep doing and I can't quite break, those can be broken so that we can not only be loved by God because He kind of has self-limited and obligated Himself in that way because He created the world, but we also live in such a way that God truly likes us. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke of it this way, where He talked about the servants given the talents and they came back and with the talents reproduced and the five got five more and the ten got ten more and the one didn't do anything with it, but the ones that produced more in the kingdom were given the well done, good and faithful servant. You see, the ultimate goal of our life is not only to just absorb the love of God, but also to live our lives in such a way that God likes what we're doing. And to give us the well-done, good and faithful servant. When we swing our feet off the bed in the morning and stand up to make our coffee and go into our day, when we come back at the end of the day and pull the covers up before we pass out from the end of an exhausting day, are we regularly hearing the well-done, good and faithful servant as a result of what we did for that 12, 14-hour period of time from bed to bed? You see, that is your responsibility. That is my responsibility. To live in such a way that we can also be likable. And so when we are understanding that we are loved by God and likable to God, it's at that point that we could begin to absorb this whole "you will be a blessing" that command in fact that God gave Abraham and take it on in our lives. The fact, if you accept the Son of God, Jesus, in your heart and life and blend Him into your fiber and blend Him into your being, and He is yours and He is in your life, then as a fact, you will be a blessing. Ultimately, that blessing is death and eternity with Him. Before that time happens, not everything is going to be great, but there is that sense in which even if the end of days is promised, the time between now and the end of days is going to be good because the promise is so great as a fact. But as we read through that again, you will be a blessing as a command, then you and I come to the place where we are loved by God. We are also liked by God because we are likable back to God. And then by the discipline of our lives and the growth of our lives, we are likable by the world in which we live. And so the goal and the expectation of life, by being disciplined to be likable to the world in which we live, then allows us the avenue to bring the blessing wherever we go. Here's the challenge for your life and for my life. It's a little introspection here, but the question would be this. When I walk into a room, is the room glad that I showed up? When my caller ID calls on somebody else's phone and they see it's me, are they glad that that call is ringing through? When that text comes through and, and delivers. Are the people on the other end of that glad that that is there? Or is it a whole lot of dodge and reject and I'll get back with you and you know, well, thanks for coming by. You know, or is it a whole lot of that? Only you know that. And you know when you know, and I know when I know. Now, not everybody's going to like you. But you don't want to give them excuses. You hear what I'm saying? We want to grow in such a way that when we bring ourselves to any place, the place that we brought ourselves is better because we've shown up. Because not only are we loved by God and we are liked by God, but we are growing and disciplining ourselves so that we can be liked by the room that we enter, by the places that we go, by the people we come in contact with, by the people that we touch. And when we overcome that hurdle of being likable in settings that we are in, it's then that we can bring the blessing. It's then that we can deliver what God has delivered into our hearts and into our lives to the world in which we're existing in. It all begins after the soap. It all begins as a response of the Abrahamic calling that can be placed upon your life after the soap. So that you and I can go and be a blessing. This past week was a very exciting week through the life and ministry of our church, as many of you remember and prayed for and interacted some with. We had about 60, as it turned out, people from Texas and Colorado come and camp at our church property and scatter into our communities to help people that were behind on flood repairs after the August 13th flood and help people that were just not able to help themselves. And in five communities, from Jennings to Welch to Lake Arthur to Gaydon to Morse, that's more than five, and even in Lafayette, we were able to deploy about 60 people to go with hammers and saws and paintbrushes and likability and smiling faces and a few resources to be a blessing into all of these communities for a week. By the way, when you intentionally go to be a blessing, when you deliberately deliver the blessing to the world in which you live, you end up with incredible stories that become a part of who you are and never will be forgotten. I mentioned to you last week that one of the ladies that needed a blessing was a lady, Mrs. Remember her name? Walker? Walker, Mrs. Walker in our community, that is a senior adult lady and needed a few things cleaned up around her house. And then she got a little more courageous and asked if one of our team could fix her front door because it had been shot up by a shooting in the street and a bullet hole was run through her front door. Well, we did it. And there's the door. And you can see it was patched. But she now has a brand new door. It cost a couple of $100, some money that was had and was laying around. But what a difference it makes in her life to know that she no longer has the memory of that terrible and tragic experience happened right outside her door. And so we got to keep the door as a reminder of that blessing delivered to Ms. Walker. One of the men came back on one of the repair jobs that he was doing in Gaydon, working with Pastor Troy down there at Gaydon. One of the ladies had some flood damage in her home. The bathroom had kind of caved in, and there was no way that she could fix it. And she didn't have any money and any resources, and that whole bathroom needed to be redecked and replywood and replumbed, and the sewer line had broken and all that. And they worked tirelessly to get her functional again. As a result of the 2 days working in this lady's home, she decided to go to the store and cook for them a meal, some of Gaydon's finest fare. I wish I could have been there. But she cooked that meal and insisted on these men who were working in her house be fed because of all the work they were doing, because it was right to do, because they were being a blessing. Barry said in his testimony that in the afternoon, after they ate the meal, they went back to work on the toilet, and there was a $5 pipe fitting that they needed to connect the water line to the toilet, and they were without transportation because they'd been dropped off there. And so they said to the lady of the house, "Ma'am, could you go down to the hardware store down the street and get us that $5 tube?" And before they could say anything else, she said, "I don't have any more money to buy that $5 piece of plumbing." They weren't expecting her to buy it. They had money, but they just didn't quite get that sentence out. Then Barry realized that she spent all she had on a meal to bless these brothers who were serving and helping her in her home. She spent everything down to less than $5 to do the very best she could to thank them for what they've done. And Barry, as he was telling the story, took it back to Texas, and he was just a-weeping because he'd ate a meal of the last provision that a woman had. We have the opportunity to go to Lafayette and send about a half a dozen big, strong, strapping guys to a pastor in Lafayette that was still not whole from after the flood. Pastor Larry's a friend of mine. He's a very big guy. Because he's very big, he's become disabled, his knees are weak, and he struggles just to get around. And his home had been flooded, and even months and months after that flood, he still was not whole, and he was overwhelmed. Robert, the pastor leader from Texas, sent the biggest guys of the group to go and be with Larry, who is an extra large brother, in order to make him feel better about having people in his home. And they went from here to Lafayette for 2 days, and they fixed the cabinet and did this and did that and put some sheetrock up and made him closer to whole. And I saw Larry's wife in the middle of the project, and oh, to see the beam and across her face, because somebody came to help my husband and help me with the needs that I could not help myself. And smaller stories all over the place of people who came to be with us to be a blessing. One of the great benefits to their mission trip, one of the great bits of relief for our team that came from Texas and has now gone back home, is to know that we as a church have planned a follow-up day for a lot of these projects in the community that have not quite gotten done, and others that didn't quite make the list but need to make the list. And so there's an opportunity on April 8th, it serves as a commercial, but it's an opportunity on April 8th for us to have our own active day of service in the community under the title Here for You. And so I'm so thankful that we've already had a long list of people who have signed up to participate and are anxious to be a part of a community and part of a church that cares about its community and seeks to bring a blessing. But here's the thing, and it's important for us to know as we think about the blessing. The blessing comes as a result of us responding to the call to go. And for you and for me, on the other side of so is our action point. And the other side of so doesn't just need to be an organized effort by the ministry of the church in order to function in the blessing of God. So I would ask us today, what is the other side of so for you? What is God in the middle of calling you to be about and to do? Is He calling you to a new job? Is He calling you to a new relationship? Is He calling you to repair a relationship that's broken and fractured and it just won't get completed without some sort of instruction or direction from your life, some sort of action? Is God calling you to a new place of service in the church? Is God calling you to a new level of giving? Is God calling you to go on the other side of your own so and find your own story that then is woven into the fabric of your life so that you can follow the call of Abraham and bring the blessing? What is it? I would suggest that all of us know. And I would also suggest that all of us know that from the front side of so to the back side of so, there is going to be a great amount of faith and courage required to respond with a so and go. What is it that is calling you by God to be the blessing? to be the blessing. In Romans chapter 9, it says this, I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing my witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to pertain the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom came, from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. Because Abraham responded to the call of God and the blessing of God upon his life, Abraham became the great, 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 great grandfather of the earthly father of Jesus who came. The promises.